Heavenly Father, what a reminder of just the humility we ought to have in our lives when it comes to our faith and a relationship with you. It's not because of who we are, but what you have done. It's not because of what we have done, but because of who you are, that we can stand before you. We can enter into your presence. On that day we take our last breath here on earth, we will enter into your presence for all eternity for those of us who put our trust in you to save us from our sins. We thank you for that. We just pray now that as we turn to your word, Lord, that our hearts would be receptive for what you have for us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have shared with you often, I feel very blessed that as a child I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a church, a Bible-preaching church, and actually a church that would actually have a strong influence in my life and the call to ministry and entering into vocational ministry. And even often as we make our way back to Indiana, and we plan to do so again this year at the end of September, I hope to be able to visit that church. There are many friends, many loved ones who are there who it's always great to get caught up with. And I think there's some great memories of that church. And there was kind of an interesting thing that happened. As a child, I lost most of my grandparents before I ever made it to junior high. I had one living grandparent left throughout high school and into my young adult life out of the four. And it was odd. There was this couple in my church, and I really don't know how it began. It probably began with my parents inviting them over for dinner, because my parents would do this often. They would invite people over after church for lunch or after church in the evening for an evening meal. And they were a couple who had never had any children. Their names were Ruth and Zeb Starner. And over the time, they would come out and they would get stuff from my mom and dad's garden and different things would go on. And they actually became grandparents to me. And it was interesting. Grandpa was... And I refer to him as Grandpa and Grandpa. He was a mechanic by trade. And we have to understand, these folks lived through the Depression. They came out of the Depression. They grew up during that time. And as he was a mechanic, some of the cars that he worked on would have been some of your Auburns, your Cords, your Duesenbergs. Some of the cars that if you have them today, they're worth $1 million. Back when he worked on cars, they didn't have computers that you hook up underneath the dash and it tells you what's wrong with the car. It took a lot more knowledge and a lot more understanding. And he understood the mechanics of a gasoline engine so well. I'll never forget it. We were doing something out on the farm one day, and Dad still has the old tractors, but I can remember Grandpa standing next to the tractors that was running, and he kind of had a funny look on his face. And he looked at my dad and he says, "The timing's off on that motor." Dad's like, and I'm sorry, ladies. Some of you are like, I have no clue what he's talking about right now. But I can tell you this. He could tell by listening to the sound of the motor something was wrong. And oddly enough, my dad goes and gets a wrench and they fix it right there on the spot. Normally, even back then, you would get out what they call a timing light. It was a tool. But he didn't need it. He could simply tell by listening to it when it was where it needed to be. And I think about that when it comes to our spiritual lives. Are we in tune with God's word to the point that when we hear something that's not right, we pick up on it? Because the reality is, we live in a world where you're not going to hear the truth outside of the walls of a fundamental church. You're not going to hear it in the media. You're not going to hear the truth anywhere. And the truth is distorted. Satan is alive and he's active and he's deceiving and he's distorting the truth. Even some Christians have been led astray by the lies and the deceptions. And as a church here and as a pastor, I always emphasize the importance of knowing God's word. I mean, it is the foundation for what we believe. But do we really know our Bibles? And it's important, or we will drift away. We will struggle in our walk with Christ. We will struggle in relationships. I mean, the reality is the Bible has the answers to all our problems. In fact, it has the answers to the problems of our country if they would just turn to it. If you have problems with a relationship, if you have problems with your family, if you have problems with your marriage, the answers are right here. But yet I fear the study and the reading of God's Word is one of the most neglected things amongst many Christians. I mean, I'll have to admit, before I felt God's call in my life, there was a time in my life when I would take and open my Bible, I'd listen to the pastor preach, I'd go home, I'd put it on the counter, and I wouldn't pick it up till the next Sunday morning. That was part of life. But the reality is, if that's all you ever do with God's Word, you'll never have that ear. You'll never be able to tell when something's not true. And it's important that as believers, as a church, that we stay true to God's Word. We're always looking to it for the answer, because the reality is it will help us grow in our faith. It will help us grow in our relationship with God. It will help us live a life that will glorify Him. And if you turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, we're going to continue on in our study in Galatians. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9 today. And really, I think we're going to see the emphasis and the importance of staying true to God's Word as we look at these few verses. First of all, we see that if we stay true to God's Word, it will help us identify problems. As we look at verse 6, you know, Paul, he goes through the introduction of the letter. He greets the churches in Galatia. He says, peace and grace to you. And talks about how they've been saved. The gospel message is presented rather quickly. And then this letter is different than most letters as we get to verse 6. A lot of letters, I mean, when Paul would write to the churches, a church in Rome, he would say, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. Colossians, he would have a similar thing as he would enter into the meat of the letter. He is thankful, the church of Colossians, for their faith in Jesus Christ and for all the love they have for the saints. As we look at verse 6 that of chapter 1 of Galatians, that's not the case. Immediately, Paul identifies a problem within the church. Follow along in verse 6 of chapter 1, Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from that called unto you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Hard to believe. I mean, Paul, I don't believe he's been away from the church very long. And as we look at this verse or look at this letter to the churches of Galatia, we're going to see the main problem that was going on here was that some Jews, although they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, they believed that he died for their sins, they still struggle with letting go of the practices of the law, particular in this case, circumcision. So in other words, they were telling the Gentiles, well, if you're going to be saved, you have to be circumcised. And really, what's Paul say? He says, listen, I can't believe so quickly. You've heard the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel message. In church, we know the gospel message. We are saved through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. It is when we put our faith in Him and what He did on the cross that we're saved from our sins. We don't add anything to it. In fact, Ephesians would say, not by works so that no man can boast in chapter 2 of Ephesians. And think about it, obviously Paul was instrumental in writing Scripture. Paul knew the gospel message, and he was quickly to identify, hey, there's a problem here. Circumcision doesn't belong in this equation. As I said, Paul was familiar. I mean, Paul was used by God to write passages like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that say you're saved by faith through grace, or Romans 9, chapter 10. Verses 9 and 10. Some of the very verses that simply state that if you believe in your heart, God raised... I can't even quote it right now. Look it up. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That's what I get for not putting in my notes. That if thou confess with thy mouth that Jesus, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I mean, Paul understood that the gospel message had nothing to do with works, definitely nothing to do with circumcision. And so he receives word from Galatia. All of a sudden, they've added circumcision. And put in modern terms, Paul automatically knows they have accepted fake news. You know, they have been convinced that circumcision is required and they have to follow through and they have to add it to salvation. The scary thing is, anytime you add anything to the work of Jesus Christ, as if you're saying, Jesus, what you did on the cross wasn't sufficient. What a shame. Why would anyone do that to our Lord and Savior? But church, I believe we can take this a step further. Paul is worried about the gospel message, but I would say that's true with God's word in general. We should make sure that what we hear comes from God's word. We should always be looking to God's word to identify problems. When we hear something that doesn't sound right, we don't need to go to the internet. We don't need to go to various places. We need to turn to God's word. And I think of some of the problems that have plagued Christianity over the years. And usually the problems that plague churches have nothing to do with God's word. Often it's because Christians can't get along, and usually it's over tradition and preferences and not over the truths of God's word. And I'm not saying what we do is wrong, but do you realize mostly of what is taking place here this morning is not biblical? Do you see anywhere in the New Testament where there is a building set aside for worship? In the Old Testament, you had the tabernacle and you had the temple, but that was different because the priest was required to make sacrifices. The priest was the one who would intercede. The priest was the only one that was allowed to go behind the curtain of the Holy of Holies, but what happened when Christ died? Guess what? There's no more need for a priest to intercede because the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. There's no more need to make sacrifice because Christ was the final and sufficient sacrifice. So why do we need a designated building? Have a cross in the front of the building. That's a wonderful thing. But what if we took the cross down? Would that be wrong? We have a baptismal in the front of the building. You know what? That's probably the most unbiblical thing we have in the building. Where do they do baptisms in the Bible? Public places. Amongst unbelievers. Why do you think some of those people were persecuted? You know, to get baptized in the early church times, you better take your faith seriously, because as soon as you got dunked in public, the persecution was followed. Because you just said, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ in front of everybody. Again, we get caught up on so many different things, and over the years, I've seen so many over what people wear to church and dress and jackets. And there again, you know, the priest had certain clothes to wear. So, you know, is it really important that I wear a jacket to preach in? Yeah, I hear you, Sam. I mean, if we want to go back to the priests and their special garments, they were sprinkled in blood and dedicated as service unto God. I really don't want to sprinkle blood on my jacket. But it's interesting. So many things that we get caught up in really shouldn't be problems at all. How well do we know our Bibles? A little plug for tonight. I'm going to have a little quiz for you all. We'll see how well you know your Bibles. So please come back this evening. But think about Paul as he identifies this problem. He says, listen, you've turned to a different gospel. I wonder how many things, the problems we have in our churches, in our lives today, that we don't look to God's word for the solution. Sometimes we don't even realize it's a problem because we don't know what God's word says. I think also not only do we see that Paul is able to identify the problem, he's able to identify, and if we stay true to God's word, the same will be true of us, identify the source of the problem. Verse 7, we continue on, it says, which is not another, he means it's not another gospel at all, but there will be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You know, it says, we know God's word that we, when we hear, as my grandfather could listen to that motor running and say, something's not right. Not only did he know that something wasn't right, he knew the source. He knew that the reason that motor wasn't running right was because the timing is off. Sometimes we may be able to identify a problem, but we may not understand the source. And here Paul knows the source. It's somebody has been preaching a gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And think about that in our day and time. How often the gospel message, how often God's word has been perverted. Really should not be a surprise to us. Paul, as he writes to Timothy, says the following in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Folks, there are messages being preached today that are nothing more than fables. Messages that are preached to large crowds. Messages that are preached to help people feel good about themselves. And to be honest, some of these preachers would probably be better labeled as motivational speakers and not preachers of the word. But it says we stay true to God's word. We can identify these people. We can know those who are not preaching the truth. People are leading others away from the true gospel message. And I think through this, I think there are a few things, and obviously there's much more, because the Bible, as we know our Bibles, we'll know several things. But I think about when you listen to someone preach, or if you're reading a book, or whatever you're doing, some things that should automatically throw some flags up in our lives. And the first one is someone who adds works to salvation. We should be looking out for those who add works to salvation. You may say, well, that really doesn't happen today. No one's telling you have to be circumcised. Well, no, but there are denominations that will say you have to be baptized in order to be saved. There are some who will say that we'll place more emphasis on the church than on Jesus Christ. And it's about going to the church. It's about baptism in the church. It's about fulfilling all the obligations of the church. And folks, that is not going to save you. Yes, we practice the ordinances of communion and baptism, but that has nothing to do with our salvation. Partaking of the elements of communion, being baptized, is not what gets us to heaven. It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And if anybody preaches anything other than that, it's not true. Another indicator that someone is preaching another gospel, someone that won't preach about sin. This is all part of itching ears. I'm not going to throw any names out there, but there are a few few televangelists you can go tune in on, and you won't hear them talk about sin. It's all about what God can do for you. It's about how God wants to bless your life. This is kind of a partial truth. It is true that God is good. God is good all the time, but God is also holy and just. And because God is holy and just, we have to talk about sin, because we cannot enter into His presence in our sinful nature. We have to receive Christ Jesus as our Savior. We have to be made new in order to enter into the presence of a holy God. And if we remove sin from the gospel message, we've removed the power of the gospel message. And all the next one is close. I think what's important, there are some out there who will not preach about hell. I think this is similar to not preaching about sin. I mean, if there's no hell, does it matter if you sin? And I've heard it said, well, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? It's because we have a loving God that He sent His one and only Son to come here as a man and to die on the cross for our sins. So that when we hear the gospel message, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can have eternal life. Again, it comes back to God is holy and just. He can't just ignore sin. If He could, He would no longer be just. And I think a third one that we're seeing more and more that we should be aware of is someone who claims that certain passages are not relevant for today. I believe this is another way preachers gain popularity. It's another way that they want to make sure that they're not offensive. It's another way that they want to please those itching ears. Some have ignored the scriptures and what they say about the qualifications for a pastor or the office of deacon. Others have ignored the scriptures and what it says about same-sex relationships. On and on, some of this is happening in mainstream denominations. Again, why do we say that these things have to be done a certain way, or why do we say certain things are wrong and sinful? It's because we're trying to stay true to God's Word. It's not my personal opinion. It's not my personal belief. It's what God says. And it's relevant for 2019. And for those who like to say otherwise, deceiving themselves. But these are a few things, not all, that we can be looking for. Things that when we hear this kind of preaching, we should be on the lookout. We should be saying, no, that's not true. That can't be true. And it's quick and easy to identify the source of the problem. And I'll tell you, it's never been easier to find out what the Scripture says about something than what we have today. I mean, you have to be familiar enough with the Scripture to know that a passage exists, but if you don't know the book and the chapter and the verse, all you have to do is Google what you know, Scripture passage that says, and you will get the book, the chapter, and the verse. But don't stop there, please. Go look it up and make sure it's in context of what you're trying to prove. This church, anybody can make the Bible say anything they want to if they take it out of context. Going to be true to God's Word, we have to stay true to its context and how it was written to the original readers. It takes time, it takes study. I believe also staying true to God's Word will help us identify the risk. We look at verses 8 and 9. As Paul will continue to say, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Are you catching the seriousness here in Paul's voice? Notice Paul includes himself. In verse 8, he says, but though we, including himself and those who are with him, if we preach anything else, if an angel from heaven should come and preach anything else, let them be accursed. And I've always said, and I've always told you, you know, when the Bible repeats something, we should pay attention. God is placing emphasis, and we see almost the exact same thing in verse 9. As it says, if anybody preaches a gospel other than that you have received, let him be accursed. Or basically, Paul is saying, let him be condemned to hell. I don't know if you're getting it or not, church, but basically, God's making it very clear. Don't mess with his word. And I believe even within the scriptures, we have warnings not to mess with God's word. James chapter 3, verse 1, James warns those who want to teach to be careful because they're going to receive a harsher judgment. We read, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that you shall receive a greater condemnation. Or the New King James would say, my brother, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. You know, as a teacher, as a preacher of God's word, we need to take it seriously because God's going to hold us accountable. Because what I say to you this morning, many of you are believing. And if I lead you astray, God takes that seriously. And the thing is, if I'm doing my job right, hopefully you share some of this with somebody else. But you need to be making sure I'm doing it right. And then as the book, the last book of the Bible ends, it makes a very serious statement when it comes to God's word. It says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Folks, I mean, God's word within it tells us the risk. And I think about, as individuals, we need to be able to stay true to God's word. I mean, I hope as a church, we always stay true to God's word. It's always going to be my effort. I hope as individuals, you put forth the same effort. Because the reality is, when you stand before God, you're not going to be able to say, well, I just believed what I was being told. You know, I don't think that's going to work very well as you're standing before Jesus Christ. Kind of like when you were a kid. Someone tells you to run off a pier. Are you going to do it? It's so important that we stay true to God's word. Not only will it help us identify the problem, not only will it help us identify the source of the problems, but also help us to know or identify the risk. We should know our Bible so well that we, when we hear something, can compare it to the truth. I think, and I dread it, I don't like to talk about politics much, but next year is an election year. And the campaign ads will start, and they will sling mud at their opponents and tell all the bad things about them. And then somebody in the media has to come along, and they call themselves fact checkers. Is what Mr. Trump said true? Is what so-and-so said about Mr. Trump true? Back and forth. Is it true? They go through all the histories and check for facts. Folks, we need to be fact checkers. When we hear something, you know, we shouldn't be naive and just accept it as true. We need to go to the Word and we need to make sure it's true. We need to check the facts. We live in a world where we hear the terms of fake news and all the things that are going on. And honestly, probably the first time in my life, I don't know that we can trust anything we hear or see. We can trust this. This is true. Folks, we need to make it the foundation of our lives. It's like I said, right now, I can't say I know anything to be true other than God's Word. I don't think we can miss the importance of what's being said here. Really, Paul, as he continues on, as we continue on next week, he's really gonna talk about how the message that he has given is an authentic message. It's from God. We can rely on it. I think Paul, he's amazed. He's amazed at the churches in Galatia, how quickly they've turned from the gospel message, how quickly they've added something to salvation. I wonder how Paul would write about us. Would he be amazed at how quickly we have turned from the truths of God's Word? Would he be amazed that we place more emphasis on tradition and preferences than we do truth? You know, as a pastor, I don't think I can preach messages like this too often. And I have to tell you, if you leave here today and you leave with a commitment to study God's Word and to be a serious student of His Word, it's not going to be easy. What, a month ago, we talked about spiritual battle. This is the last place Satan wants you to spend time. Because he knows it's true. And he doesn't want you to see the truth. He wants your head to be full of fake news. Folks, the stakes are high. It says, we stay true to God's Word that we will be able to identify the problem when it arises. We'll be able to identify the source. We'll be able to identify that's not, when something's not true, when someone's writing something that's not true, when someone's, you know, and even there, we have to be careful in these areas. You can't just go to a Christian bookstore and pick up a book and assume it's good. We have to be able to identify the source. We have to be able to identify when things aren't true. And we have to understand the risk. I mean, Paul puts a stern warning out at the end of these two verses, or the end of this passage. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that what I speak from God's Word is true and not changed or altered in any way. We're living in a time and an age when this is going to become more and more difficult. People don't want to hear the truth. They say it's offensive. Quite frankly, the gospel message is offensive. It tells us that the way we live our lives is wrong. And until people get past that offense, offensiveness of the gospel. I mean, we all have to get past that to understand the good news. That he, despite our sins, God sent his son to die on the cross to save us. And all we have to do is accept the gift. All we have to do is put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Quite frankly, it's time that as a church and as individuals, we stand strong on the foundation of God's word. There are too many people out there preaching a watered down gospel. Instead of standing firm on the foundation, sometimes people have moved in order to satisfy the ears of those they're teaching or preaching to satisfy those itching ears. May that not be true of us. May that never be true of this church. May we be so familiar with God's word that we'll be just like my grandfather when he listened to that motor run. He said, something's wrong. May we be so familiar with God's word when we hear something that's not true, we know it and we know it right away. We live in a world that needs to hear it. We live in a world that needs to see it. Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I'd encourage you, church, get involved with lost people. Interact with lost people. Make a point of building relationships with lost people. If all we do is associate with one another, all we do is come into this auditorium and worship with one another and never associate with a lost person, we're taking that light and we're hiding it under a bushel. Not only do we have the most amazing gift in the world, and that is the gift of salvation, we also have the most amazing book in the world, and that's the book of truth of Jesus Christ. And we need to share it. And my prayer this morning is that we will have a desire not only to study it, but a desire to share it. Because I believe if God still wants to see people being saved, if he didn't, we'd all be in heaven right now. And I think the day is drawing near. I think the day of the rapture is coming close. But until then, we need to stand firm. We need to preach the gospel message. We need to share the gospel message. And we need to do it with zeal. What a blessing it will be when we get to heaven to hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for just the time that we've had to come and worship you, the time to look into your word. And Lord, may we never take the Bible for granted. It is how you have chosen to reveal yourself to us. It is how you have chosen to reveal the truth of the gospel message to us, the truth of our sins, the truth of your Son who lived a sinless life, who was willing to die on the cross in our place so that when we put our trust and faith in him, we can have eternal life. Lord, it is a blessing and an honor to be adopted into your family, to be one of your children. May we never take that for granted, and may we desire to see others come to have a saving relationship through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.